We're on Daf Pei Aleph on the Beis, 8 lines down from the top. The Gemara tells a Maisa with Tefillah will successfully protect a person from the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, have a Ragil kol Idna Davenofel Liape. Whenever he would fall on his face, literally, which means Tachnun Nefilas Apayim, Havi Omar, he would beseech Harachaman, the compassionate one, Yatzilenu Miyetzer Hara. Even though Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyir Shamayim, but nevertheless, Haba Letayr Misayin Oso, and Tefillah will help. Yoma Chada, on one particular occasion, Shmatinu Debeso, he heard his wife who said, Omra Michti Hakamashni Deparishle Minai. It's already a number of years that he has separated himself from me because of Zikna. So here she thought, all these years, that he separated himself from her because he was old and he had no desire for her. But then he overheard his tefillah, she overheard his tefillah, asking Hashem to save him for the Yetzer. Apparently he did have a desire. My time akomar achi. Why, if he has no desire, he's old, is he asking Hashem to save him from the clutches, the influence of the Yetzer Hara? Why does he need this tefillah? Apparently, he does have a Yetzer Hara. He does have a desire. So she took the initiative now to do an action which would check out whether or not, in fact, he has a Yetzer Hara. Yom Echada have a Kagoris Beginsei. On one particular occasion, Reb Chiya was out in his garden and he was involved in Torah study, Kishta Nafsha. She beautified herself with jewels and with cosmetics and lovely smells, you know, all sorts of psalmim she put on herself, Cholfa, and she passed him Fisanya Kameh. And she would go back and forth in front of him. And Reb Chiya noticed that a woman is passing in front of him. Omar Allah, he didn't recognize her. He said, Manat, who are you? Omra Ano Harusa. I am the famous prostitute called Harusa. Tahadri Miyoma. I came back today. And what does it mean? I came back today. She was alluding to him or hinting to him that she already had a day of work with those who had relations with her. And she's like full of zera. And that would sort of make it disgusting for him, because if she had relations with so many other men, then he would not want her. And yet, Tava, Rabbi Chiya, unbelievable, asked her for a relationship. Amr Lei, so she said to him, Aisi Niele Lahach Rumona Deresh Tzosisa. She was asking for some sort of a collateral, if you will. Rumona Deresh Tzosisa, which Rashi explains is a certain kind of fruit that grows off a branch on the top of a date tree. The word Ramona means on the top of the tree. And basically she wanted him to climb up to the top of this tree. And maybe that, during the time that he would climb up, his Yetzer Hara's Taiva would go down, She wanted to see if she, or maybe she wanted to see if he still had power, if he still had the youth to him. Ozil, I say, Niela. He went and he brought her this fruit from the top of the tree. Ki Ozil Abese. When Reb Chiya came back to his house, Havaka Shagra Debesu Tanura. He found his wife who was heating up the oven. Sulik, he went into the oven, Vikayasiv Begava, and he basically tried to commit suicide by climbing into the hot oven. And the poskim, the Shvus Yaakov, derive from this story that if a person in his process of tshuva commits suicide, that's not called a suicide case. Some say that the reason he thought he was chayev misa is because this woman was a nida and he violated the iser kares. Because if it was only a zona without nida, that would be a violation of a lav, losia kedesha, and there would be no heter for him to commit suicide for tshuva for violating a lav. Amrole, his wife turns to him and says, "My hai, what are you doing? Why are you going into the oven?" Amar la, hachi v'achi avimaisa. And he confessed to her that he had relations with a prostitute. Amar le, anohavi. That was not Harusa. That was me, your wife. You didn't commit any sin. Lo ashkech ba, Reb Chiya didn't pay any attention to him, to her. He doesn't believe her. Adi yavale simone. Until she took out, the fruit, and that would prove, this simon would prove that it was actually her. And he began to believe her. Omar lo, Reb Chiya turns to his wife and he says, I know merely Suryechavna. It's true that my relationship was with you, but the very fact that I was fooled, thinking that you were a zona, and yet I went ahead and I had with my kavana a maisa vera. Therefore, even though I didn't do exactly the avera that I thought I was doing, but nevertheless, that was my intention. I need tshuva, I need kapara, because I had a desire to violate an avera. And kol yom of shaloso tzaddik, the Gemara records that for the balance of his life, this tzaddik Rabbi Chiya, hayim isane, he would fast, and shemes biyosa misa, until he finally died with that death. And that was a death that was brought about through this self-flagellation, the suffering that he brought upon himself. So the Gemara again demonstrates the power of the Yetzer Hara in the story of Reb Chiya. And also that a person should be mispalel, that Hashem should save him from the Yetzer Hara. As we said before, Abol Tayr Messiah also. The Gemara now quotes a brisa that even if a person did not commit an aver, but he had intention to do so, he needs kapara desanya. This is all based on the parsha of Nedarim in Matos at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. In the case of a woman, a married woman who took upon herself a vow, a neder, and her husband was mefer the neder, he nullified the neder, but she did not know about it, and she violated the neder. Unbeknown to her, the neder was completely null and void, but she thought, in her mind, that she had violated the neder. And the Torah says in such a case, Isha hafiram, her husband, nullified the neder, Hashem yislach la. She needs Hashem to forgive her because in her mind, she thought that she had violated an aver and she did an iser of neder. V'meh kosu medaber, Why should the Torah say that Hashem will have to forgive her for the sin when, as a matter of fact, her husband nullified the neder, there was no neder? The Isha Shenadra bin Nazir, the case, the scenario is she took upon herself to be a Nazira, Shama Baila Vehefirla, her husband nullified Hafaras neder, Vehilo Yada, Shehefirla Baila, she was unaware of that fact. Faisa Shosa Yayin, she was violating her Nazirus, in her mind, the Nazirus was valid, and she was drinking wine. And as a result, the Torah says, since in her mind she was violating her neder, maybe she was also violating other isurim. It says umetame lemesim, a nazir, in this case a female nazir, is enjoined from going into a cemetery and coming in contact with the dead. So she had kavana for an avera for an isur, because in her mind she was still in the zira. And the Torah teaches us that she needs kapara for her maisa because she thought that she was violating an avera. Even though we have a principle, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif machshav ara kemaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not consider a wrong thought as if it were an action, and is not a harsh punishment for machshava. Nevertheless, there was a maisa here. It wasn't just a machshava, there was a maisa, which in her mind, according to her machshava, that maisa was in fact a maisa vera. The Ben Ish Chai says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish a person for a machshava because perhaps he'll do tshuva, he'll regret his original thoughts and schemes before he implements them. But if a person implements their machshava, that proves that they would not have done tshuva, they were not ready for tshuva, and there'll be an onesh, a punishment, even for machshava. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Akiva, ki havimati lai psuka, when he read this pasuk, Isha hafeiram v'ashem yisachal havibachi, would cry, Amar, uma im mishen iskavin lechol basar chazir v'yolo biyodo basar tleh. If a person thought that he was eating non-kosher food, and as luck would have it, on his behalf, he was eating kosher food. Nevertheless, because of his intention, he's got to do tshuva, and he has to achieve kapar and slicha. His mission is coming, lechol b'sar chazir v'yolo b'yodo b'sar chazir. If a person intended to eat non-kosher meat, and in fact he did so, so it was not only a machshava, but also a maisa ver befoal, is halachas kam v'kama, how much more so does he need kapara and slicha? Because here he has both machshava and maisa. Kayotze b'dovar, a similar kind of drusha we find on another pasuk, ata omer, in the parsha at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, v'ashem talui, v'lo yadav v'yashem, Vinasa Vono, a person was a shogeg. He unintentionally violated what's called a safek kares. He ate a piece of meat. We don't know if that meat is kosher or it's chelev. And then, as things would develop, it was clarified that it became clear that the action that he did, which again he was unintentional about, he didn't know what the suffix status of this meat was. But he finds out about the suffix status of this meat. He's got to bring a korban asham talui. He needs kapara. And the issue here is the Gemara could have quoted every case of shogig, every case of chatos, for example. But in any event, in this case of asham talui, he needs kapara, even though he was unaware of the fact that his maisa is a suffix yisur kares. Rabbi Akiva magila pasuk zelya bocha. Again, Rabbi Akiva would cry. Uma mishen is coming lechol shuman. In his mind, he was eating heter viola biyado chelev, and he, as it turns out, was eating chelev. And this is an iser kares. Omer Torah v'lo yada v'yoshem v'nosa avono. There's an ashama here. There's a castigation and an accusation of certain guilt, and he needs kapara. His mission is kaving lechol chelev v'lo biyado chelev alachas kam v'kama. How much more so someone who had intention to eat chelev certainly will be punished for that. Before the Gemara mentioned Chazir, here the Gemara mentions Chelev. There the Gemara is talking about an Isur Neder, and therefore any Lav would do, and Chazir is an Isur Lav. Here we're talking about Havas Karban is only an Isur Kares, and therefore he mentions Chelev. The Gemara finishes up this discussion. Isi ben Yehuda Omer v'lo yada v'yoshem v'nosa avono. Even a chet without awareness needs kapara. Al dover zeh yidvu kol advuyim. Anyone who's fit for this, he should be mitztayer, he should be very sad, because there is an avera even without kavana le'isur, and basically we're all a little bit guilty of such situations, and therefore we all have to worry about the need for kapara. We start now the Mishnah that we learned. We review the Mishnah that we learned earlier about the heter of a person to have yichud with his mother or a father with his daughter. We're not choshesh that through this yichud there would be an avera. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Asi, Misyachid Odom Achoso. So too a man is allowed to have, at least on a temporary basis, yichud with his sister. The poskim say, for example, if a brother and sister want to take an apartment, a dormitory room together, that's not permissible. It's got to be on a lefrakim. As Rashi points out, it has to be less than 30 days. Dar im imo v'im bito. Here it's not misyached leprokim, but it's dar. He can live on a permanent basis in the same apartment with his mother, or father with his daughter. And we're not choshish for avera. And why is that so? Because, as the sugya tells us in Sanhedrin Samach Dalid, Rashi quotes it here, the Anshei Knesset Agdola, through their tfilos, were mevatel, they completely annulled the Yetzirah for these close relatives. Of course, the Achronim point out this is strange, because the Gemara above on Pei Amid Beis has already derived the heter of a son with his mother to have yichud because of the pasuk ki yischa, ki yisischa achicha ben imech, etc. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that this svara of the Gemara in Sanhedrin of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, that expands it even to achosa, in order to allow even achosa. Although again, achosa we said is only a heter lefrakim. Imo is a heter even on a permanent basis, not just a temporary basis. The Rosh is bothered by the fact that how could Chazal permit yichud when the Torah prohibited it? Certainly, midoraisa, if there's an isur yichud, it should be inclusive of any erva. How did the Chazal have a right to pick and choose and say, well, you know what, there's no chashash avera here, we'll be matir yichud? And the answer is that the Torah gave the isur yichud in such a way that it's amorphous, it's undefined, and authorized the chachamim to fill in the details, the specifics, when it's usur, when it's mutter. It's like Mikrai Kodesh of the Issa Malach of Cholomoid, or for example, V'nisem Esnafshos Seichem on Yom HaKippurim, what exactly constitutes Inui, Or for example, tefillah, the Torah says avoda, but what exactly is it all about? How to fulfill this? Or birkas hamazon. In all these cases, the chachamim were authorized to design, to write out the script and the lines and the and the details of when the mitzvah, when the Isra applies, when it doesn't. Ki Omer Kamei de Shmuel, when this statement of Rabbi Yehuda was presented to Shmuel, Omar, he disagreed. He said, Osur l'siyachidim kol arayishav haTorah. The Torah prohibited yichud with any erva, without any exception, including his mother, his sister's daughter, vafilu im behema, and not only that, even with an animal, you're not allowed to be alone. Shmuel is machmir on a derabbanan level, because after all, we said ki yisischa teaches me that a father is allowed to have yichud with his daughter, mother's allowed to have yichud with her son. Shmuel did not disagree with that drasha, but nevertheless, he wanted to be machmir midrabbanan. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Misyachid Adam im imo v'im bito v'yoshein imoem b'keruv basar. A man, a father, is allowed to be with his daughter, and a mother with her son. Again, we're talking about a daughter who's a ketana, we're talking about a son who's a katan, b'keruv basar, even if their flesh touch each other. And if we're talking about yoshein, they're sleeping together, obviously they're alone. Tuvta de Shmuel, this would undermine the principle of Shmuel, who postulates an isur yichud between a mother and her son, etc. Amalach Shmuel, and Shmuel turns to the Makshan and he says, "Lutamech, if you understand that you're allowed to be misyachid with these arayos, achoso imo bito, then how are you going to deal with the brisa? Hadisanya, we learned in the brisa." Achoso v'chamoso ushar kol arayisha b'torah ein misyached imam ela be'edim, meaning be'edim in shalo be'edim lo, you're only allowed to be alone with your sister. V'chamoso, that's the mother of your wife, your mother-in-law, and all the other arayis only in the presence of edim, meaning two other men. Obviously, alone, you're not allowed to be with them. So this brisa certainly maintains the position that there is an Isur Yichud, even with his sister, Elatanoi. So you're going to have to admit that there's a debate between the Mishnah and the brisa. And therefore Shmuel is waving the flag. He's advocating the position of the brisa. That's Tanoi. Desanya Amar Rabbi Meir. We have another brisa that also supports this view that the Isur Yichud applies even Imo and Bito. Rabbi Meir instructed his household, Izaru bi mipnei biti. We learned this brisa that I'm not reliable, so don't even allow me to be alone with my own daughter. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Izaru bi mipnei kalasi. I'm not allowed to be alone with my own daughter-in-law. I don't know what the chiddush of that is. So the Gemara tells us, Ligleg Olav Oso Talmud, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Tarfon, was a little bit cynical about this. I mean, after all, Rabbi Tarfon is Rabbi Tarfon. Why he has to accept upon himself such a chumrah? Amar Rabbi Avo, Mishum, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yomim u'otim, Not too many days passed by after this Talmud was full of cynicism. Achenichshal oso Talmud b'chamoso, and this Talmud had a relationship with his own mother-in-law, and that proves that we have to be concerned about this. Now Shmuel, if you recall, said that a man is not allowed to be alone with a behemoth.
The Gemara tells a story about Abaye. Abaye mechalale mikula dabra. When he would go out into the fields to study alone, he would make sure to chase away the animals so that he wouldn't be alone with an animal. Rav Sheshes ma'abrale mitzra. Rav Sheshes had a minog that again, he would send the animals to the other side, the other boundaries of the Sada, so that he would not be alone with them. Rav Chanan midardoi ikla l'Rav Kahana l'fum nara. Rav Chanan came from Narda to visit Rav Kahana in a place called Fum Nara, being the banks of the river. Chazye, and Rav Chanan saw Rav Kahana di Yosef v'kogores v'kaima b'hema kamei, that he was sitting and learning, and there was an animal sitting in front of him. Omale, Rav Chanan says to Rav Kahana, lo sova lo mar, does Rav Kahana not agree that there's an Isa Yichra Filu in Behema? Why didn't he get rid of the animal? Amalei Rav Kahana returned and responded to Rav Chanan, Lav Adate, I didn't pay attention that there was an animal standing there. I was so, I would say in Yiddish Arangitan, I was so involved in my study that I didn't pay any attention. Now this din of yichud with behema, the sisu yichud, is only a chumrah, because the Gemara says later on, as we'll soon see, lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav behema. We don't suspect a Jew to have relations sodomy with an animal. So this was a special harchoka, and the Rambam in Isurei Bia writes that a misrachik mi yichud behema. Vizachar reza mishubach, indicating that it's a chumrah, it's not mikar adin, and the Rush codifies this, and it's also codified later on in the Amshel Shlom the Marshal that yichud im behema o zachar is mutter, and he says it's even mutter lechatchila today. If somebody would take upon himself such a chumrah as they did back in the time of the Gemara, that would be yura, that would be excessive chumrah. Omar Rava, misyached adam im shtei yevamos. In other words, you have two women who are not related to each other, and they're married to two brothers, we call them sisters-in-law, and since he's as yichud with these two women, and there's a certain competition or a certain tension between these two women, each one is afraid that maybe her sister-in-law will fall for Yibum in front of her husband, and they will become tzoros one to the other. And in such a case where there's a certain element of sinah between two women, there's no chashash that a person would have bia with one of them, because he knows that the other one is going to be very happy to blab, to tell everybody and publicize about what our sister-in-law was doing. The im shtei tzoros, two women who are married to the same man, because again, if there's a competition between the two women, then it's permissible. Im isha v'chamosa, with a woman and her mother-in-law. Im isha ubas baila, with a woman and the daughter of her husband. That means her husband, who this daughter was born from another woman. In all these cases, we have a principle of isha nashim sonos zu es zu, and Rashi explains ha'achas lo techap al chaver to lohagin aleha. Normally we would assume that if a man has yichud with two women and he would have a relationship with one of them, he would be in violation of the Isur Yichud, because there's no inhibition in the fact that there's another woman present, because he's hoping that she too would join in this action, in this immoral action. But in a case where the other woman would rather get involved in this immoral action, she would rather tell everybody about the terrible thing that went on. In such a case, he's inhibited to have relations, and therefore when the two women are together, it's not yichud, and this all is based on what we discussed in the name of the Rashba the other day, that yichud of one man with two women is only a chashash d'rabbanon, an isur d'rabbanon. In isha v'tinoka sheyodas tam bia v'enem oseres esatzmo l'bia, a man is allowed to have yichud with a woman, a mature adult woman, in the presence of a young girl who will recognize a maisa bia, she'll know to tell about it. She herself has no levishas yetzer. She's not mature enough to have that temptation for an immoral act. And therefore, that young girl, let's assume she's 5 years old, maybe she's 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, whatever her age is, she is a chaperone, and she removes the Isur Yichud. The Mishnah continues that as far as parents and children, meaning him with his daughter or she with her son, Higdilu Zeh, if the child is older, Zeh Yoshein Biksuso, in other words, they're no longer allowed to sleep naked together, Vikama, what does that mean? What's the shear of godless here? We're not talking about bar mitzvah. Omer of Adavar Aza. Omer of Asi, Tinoka, Tinokes, Bas, Teshashonav Yom Echad. A girl who's already reached the age of 9 and a day. She would not be allowed to sleep Bikiruv Basar once she reaches the age of 9 and a day with her father, I mean. Vitinok. And if the son is ben shtemesrei shanav yom echad, he's already 12 years old, the mother is not allowed to be alone with her son, bekiruv basar. Ikodi amri, others say, tinokas pas shtemesrei shanav yom echad. The mekil here in the Lishna Basar allows, even if she's older than 9, as long as she's younger than 12, v'tinok, even if he is older than 12. Ben Shloshesrei V'yom Echad, until he's bar mitzvah age, he is allowed to sleep in the same bed with his mother. Zeva Zeh, both opinions of the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra, is Kidei Sheyu Shadayim Nachonu Usa'arech Simeach. We're talking about a father sleeping in the same bed with his daughter, a young daughter. It all applies, the heter, as long as she hasn't yet produced, developed simoni gadlus. Simoni gadlus here are called shadayim nachonu, sarech tzimeach. She grows pubic hairs. This development in her physical body would demonstrate that she's already a gedola, and therefore he's not allowed to sleep with her. Now, if we go back to the first lashon, the Lishna Kama, it means if she's 9 years old, then if she already produced these simonim, she's called a gedola, and he's not allowed to sleep with her. According to Lishna Basra, if she had these simonim when she was younger than 12 years, even though she was already 9 years old, then we don't consider these simonim as real bona fide simonim, but rather it's considered shuma, it's considered some sort of premature development, but it's not really indicative of godless. Amar Rafram bar Papa Amar Rav Chizda Lo Shanu Ela She'ena Bosha La'amod Lefanav Arum. All these heterim that apply in the case of a father sleeping with his daughter in the same bed, that's only if she's not embarrassed to expose her body in front of her father. Avol bosha lama lefanav aruma, if she's very sensitive, she's very inhibited, and she always wears clothes, she doesn't want anyone to see her naked, is usher. She's already developed that psychological godless, such that she's Bosha Lefanov, Lama Lefanov Haruma, then he's already enjoined, he's prohibited from having this Kiruv Basar with his daughter, my Taima, what's the logic for that? The fact that she's mispayeshes, she's humiliated, she's embarrassed about her nakedness, is that itself is proof positive, Yetzer Al-Basha, that she already has some sort of awareness of sexuality, that's called Yitzra Al-Basha, she already has the Yetzer, the inclination, and she's sensitive to tznius. She understands that sleeping with her father in the same bed naked is not something that's tznua, and in that case, it's asur. Rav Acha bar Abba ikla lebei Rav Chisda chasnei. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Acha who came to visit Rav Chisda, who was chasnei, his son-in-law, shakle lebas barte. Rav Acha took his granddaughter, that means the daughter of his daughter, Osvei Bekanfei, and she gave her into the cheik of himself, her grandfather, Rav Acha. So here we have a case of a Gadol B'Yisrael, the way the Mefarshim explain it, what does this cheik mean? That he took his granddaughter, and he was sleeping Bekiruv Basar with his granddaughter. Amalei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda turns to his father-in-law and says, Lo Savalei Mar, don't you, Rav Acha, agree, Demekadsha, that don't you, now usually the phrase in Shas Lo Savalei Mar means, don't you agree by a certain shita. Here, Lo Savalei Mar means, aren't you aware of the fact that the Mekadsha, that she's married already to a man? In other words, she is a mureses. Some say that she wore some sort of a ring, and therefore he should have understood that she's a married woman. It means her father was Mekabel Kiddushin for her. And therefore he should be marchik himself from an Eishes Ish. That's how Rashi learns this. Amalei, is it possible that you, Rav Chisda, my son-in-law, were Mekabel Kiddushin for my granddaughter, for your daughter, Bekatnusa, while she was a child, of Artaloch Adarav, you violate the principle of Rav, the Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Itema Rav Lazar. There's a principle here that even though the Torah gave authority to a father to marry off his daughter as a ketana, but also liadam she kaddishes bitok she ketana ad shatagdil v'tomer ploni ani rotzu. We're always afraid that who knows if the father is going to choose the right marriage partner for his young daughter. When she'll get older, she'll say, I am not interested in this marriage. Let her choose her own marriage partner. And it sounds like perhaps Rav Acha would not entertain the possibility that his great son-in-law Rav Chisda would have married off his daughter, the granddaughter of Rav Acha, when she was a ketana, in violation of this isur. Mar nami avrolei ad Shmuel. So Rav Chisda turns to his father and he says, "Wait a minute, you're accusing me of violating the principle of Rav, but here you're violating the law of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel ein mishtamshim." Be'isha, that a person should not take advantage of the service of a woman, and you're using my daughter to sort of be meshamesh you by having her sleep in your bosom. In other words, we should be careful that a woman should not be, you know, in close contact with men on a regular basis. Amalei Rav Acha responded, "Ano ki idoch de Shmuel svirulei." I rely on another statement of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel. Shmuel said, and here we're on Pei Beis, "Hakol l'shem shamayim." That with regard to this Easter of not enjoying the service of a woman, that only applies when he wants some sort of intimacy with a woman. But when I took my granddaughter with me, I didn't have any interest in a sexual intimacy. I did it l'shem shamayim. This was my way of expressing my closeness to her as a zayde, as a grandfather. And that would give nachas ruach also to my daughter, her mother. And I love my daughter. I love my granddaughter. This is not ishus. This is not anything but l'shem shamayim. And therefore, in such a case, Shmuel did not prohibit it. And this is our halacha l'maisa, our reliance on the heter to enjoy the service of a woman if we're doing it not for the purpose of chibas ishus. And the Ritva adds, Hakol lefi das yira shamayim, and he explains that a person has to recognize in himself what is his motivation. If he should be marchik himself because of his yetzahara or not, a person has to know himself and how to be machnia and his yetzahara. He's allowed to do things if he. If he does it l'shem shamayim, again within a certain limited heter, and therefore Adam shemakiris atzmo sheyitzro nichna v'kafuf lo mutlo l'daber ima erva ulishol b'shlom eishes ish. The Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Yochanan, Gemara Bav Metzia, that he sat on the gates of the mikvah and he wasn't choshesh for yetzahara. Today, of course, this is a very sensitive kind of issue. But be that as it may, back in the day, if a person was a chassid, he was outstanding in his piety, he could do such a thing. If he does it l'shem shamayim, and when you ask a married woman, how are you, and so on, that could be seen as some sort of an act of intimacy. But on the other hand, it can be understood in a different light, l'shem shamayim. And that has to be judged in each particular case. This reminds me of the issue about shaking hands with a woman. And those poskim who are mekil probably rely on this statement of Rav Acha, relying on Shmuel HaKol L'Shem Shamayim. Rabosai, we're up to the first Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis Omen Aleph. What we'll try to accomplish now in the few minutes that we have left is to learn this Mishnah and the Gemara in order to get to the next Mishnah, and that's what we want to do. Lo yilmad Adam Ravak, a single person, he's a man that's not married, Sofrim, he should not function as what we call a Malame Tinokos, to teach young children. Vilo tilmad isha sofrim, a woman should not teach young children, what we call tinokos shel beis rabba and tashbar, and we'll soon see why. Rabbi Elazar omer, af mishein lo isha, even a woman who doesn't have a wife here, let's say a wife is far away, and he travels, he's away from home, Lo yilmad sofrim, he should not teach young children. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo yire ravok behema, a single person should not be a shepherd. Velo yishnu shnei ravokim vitalis achas, and two single men should not sleep under one garment. And all this is because of a chashash of, in the case of an animal, of sodomy, in the case of another man, of a homosexual act. The Chachamim matirin. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda as far as, number one, a single man serving as a shepherd of animals, and also as far as two bachelors sleeping in the same bed under one talus, under one covering. And that's the principle of the Chachamim, that Yisrael lo nechshedu al mishkav zocher v'al mishkav behema. The Gemara now tries to explain the reasoning of the first din of our Mishnah. Why is it that a single person should not teach young children my taima? Ilema mishum yinuke. If you're telling us that we're afraid that this single person would have a homosexual act with one of the children, and we've known, unfortunately, of such cases and scandals of that sort. Vatanya, but we have a brisa with regard to the din of Rabbi Yehuda, who prohibits two single men to be sleeping under one talis, under one blanket. The Rabbanan argue with him. Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, and they said to Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachar, v'lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav behema. So we should accept the sheet of the Chachamim lekula, and therefore to say that a bachelor should not be teaching young children because of a homosexual act is lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachar. Ella, says Gemara, why is it, Ravak, that a single man should not be teaching young children, Mishum imhasa dianuke? We're worried about the following scenario. The mothers of these children are constantly coming to bring their children to the school and pick up their children, take them back, and perhaps this bachelor will see the mothers of these children and have some sort of a yetzahara to have a relationship with them. The isha mishum avhasa diyanuke, and a woman should not be teaching young children because their fathers come also very often to bring their children to the school to pick them up on the way back, and there may be an avera that is violent. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, let's read the Mishnah again, Af Misha Ein Lo Isha Lo Yilmad Sofrim Iboilu. The Gemara has a suffix. What exactly is the scenario that's prohibited by Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah? Because Lechora, what's he adding to the Tanakama, who already established that if a man is not married, he should not be teaching children? If Rabbi Lazar is telling us that he's not allowed to be teaching children, Misha ain lo Isha Klal, because he's not married at all, he's single. And in that case, we don't understand what he's adding to the Tanakama. Odila, perhaps, this would be a little bit better to justify what Rabbi Lazar is adding to the Tanakama, be'ena b'she'ena shruya etzlo. He is married, but she's far away. And that would explain what Rabbi Lazar is adding to the Tanakama. The Tanakama says that as long as he's married, he's allowed to teach children. It matters not whether his wife is with him or she's far away. And there, Rabbi Lazar qualifies and circumscribes this heter of a married man only if his wife is with him. Toshma, we learned in a brisa, af misha yeshlo, even a man who's married, but vi'ena shruya etzlo, but she's not with him, lo yamed sofrim, he should not serve as a rebbe for teaching young children in a cheder. So we see that this brisa maintains, like we suggested in Rabbi Lazar, that even if a man is married, if his wife is not with him, he should not be teaching young children. And this brisa supports the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yehuda says that a single person should not be a shepherd, and a single man should not be sleeping together under a blanket with another single man. The Chachamim we saw were matirit. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachar, v'lo nechshedu al behema. And therefore, we are makil, we will permit, number one, the case of a shepherd, the case of a bachelor who's functioning as a shepherd, he's alone with animals, and the case of two bachelors who are sleeping under a blanket. Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue the Mishnah in the next sheet.